Curtains open. I don't know. Oh, is that a window? That's a window. It's a window? Okay. God, just realized there's no sunshine in here except for that little square. Okay. Huh? Okay. Welcome, everybody. So, in the monastery, we do 12 years of study of the lower middle way school. That's what you do first in the Geshe course. Then you do 4 years of study of the higher middle way school. Each course, the 12 years, the 4 years, and then there's three courses after that, they have their own textbooks. And normally there's two textbooks per course. One is called a Chidun, and one is called a Tachi. Chidun means overview, and Tachi means like a detailed analysis of the subject. But that pair of textbooks has come to be sort of a little bit merged. So you can't necessarily say that a Chidun is less detailed than a Tachi, okay? So I had the honor, or I had the pleasure of editing most of the textbooks from our monastery over the course of my studies, because we were preparing them for printing on a computer. We printed the textbook for the 12-year course, which is about 4 volumes long. We started to print it on cold type, which in Tibetan means you have to stack the letters by hand with these tiny little metal pieces. And there were thousands of errors. And it took, I think, 4 or 5 years to finish one volume. And then we, you know, I brought in computers and we brought in text processing of Tibetan. So our group actually invented Tibetan text processing. And then they... I had to edit everything they typed, so I had the pleasure of editing this text, which is the Chidun for the study of the highest school, middle way highest school. And then we learned it for 4 years, and Rinpoche also taught it to me before that for many years. So I love this book. It's from our monastery, Sarame. It's by Kedup Denpa Dargye, 1500s. And it's an extraordinary presentation on emptiness. And we started to go through it, 2003? We're coming up on our 10th anniversary. I think we're about a quarter of the way through the book, I don't know. Maybe not that much. But I love this book, I really love it. And I don't know how we're gonna get through it, but let's see, I don't know. Maybe someday I'll have to start doing it online or something, I don't know. From my house, I don't know. But in the meantime, it's a very, very beautiful subject, and it's the deepest presentation of emptiness you'll ever see. Okay, and it's just exquisite, and it's difficult. Okay, so this is like the advanced yoga class. Okay, this is like the Dharma Mitra class. So here we go. They're discussing an idea. You see, can people on a lower track perceive emptiness? Okay, is it possible? Lower track and higher track can be divided two different ways. One is according to whether you are working with a vision to change the world into an enlightened paradise for all beings or not, right? Bodhicitta or not. Okay. And then in some ways you can make the division by how they believe that the things in our world are happening. Okay? Worldview. Okay? On their worldview. So the question comes up, is it possible for people with lesser worldviews or lesser motivations to perceive emptiness directly? And the question is important because all schools agree that you can't reach nirvana without perceiving emptiness directly. Okay? Then you have to discuss what is nirvana. It's not the same as enlightenment or Buddhahood, right? Nirvana happens way before Buddhahood, in most cases. Then nirvana is Madhupapambe Tango. Tango. Natha. Ta. Tango. Say Nyendrip Malupar Pangbe Sosor Tango. Yeah, that's a definition of nirvana, okay? Which is that you are able to remove your negative emotions permanently because you have seen emptiness directly. Okay? That's a definition of nirvana. So somebody in this room, or everybody in this room except me, could already be in nirvana. We don't know. They would not have any anger, jealousy, desire, no negative emotions. Okay? It doesn't change how you look necessarily, okay? Maybe you wouldn't frown so much. But you can achieve nirvana a long time before your body turns into light, okay? So even people on the lower tracks, everybody agrees, can achieve nirvana. That implies that they have seen emptiness directly. Now, one more thing you have to know. There's two halves of the highest school of ancient Buddhism, right? There are four schools of ancient Buddhism, which are not the same as the four schools of Tibetan Buddhism, right? And the four schools of ancient Indian Buddhism, the highest school is divided into lower and higher middle way school. So there's higher middle way school and there's lower middle way school, okay? So what we're into now in the text is an argument between the higher middle way school and the lower middle way school. By the way, higher middle way school is correct and even is necessary for the practice of secret teachings. Okay? So when even if you zoom up on a rocket ship to the secret teachings, you still need to understand Madhyamika Prasangika, the highest of the two schools. Middle way schools. Okay, so what we have going on here is a little bit of an argument between the higher half of the middle way school and the lower half of the middle way school. Okay, so then the lower half of the middle way school says, "I don't think that people who have achieved nirvana could have seen the full form of emptiness directly. Okay, if they are lower track." They must have seen some lower form of emptiness, some lower version of emptiness, okay? I snuck all these versions into the teaching on the six flavors of Mahamudra, okay? So you've had them all. The seed is planted, I don't know, 15 years ago in your mind. So you've been introduced to all these ideas about different flavors of emptiness, okay? There are... I taught at that time six classical flavors of emptiness. Five of them are incorrect, okay? But the Buddha taught them because they are useful. So you can call them warm-ups to the highest viewpoint of emptiness, okay? By the way, today's class is difficult. Hang in there. In the monastery, we are encouraged to go to classes above our, you know, like if we're freshmen, we're encouraged to drop in on a senior class once in a while and sit there. Or in the debate ground, we're encouraged to wander over to the senior class debating and listen in. And we don't know what the heck is going on half the time. And it's considered a very good exercise. Because then 3 years later or 10 years later, when you get to that subject, you have seeds in your mind. So don't despair in this class, okay? I'm not going to water it down. This is the only class I don't water down. So for me, it's really fun. Okay, so, you know, we're going to go at a certain speed. Don't get stressed out, okay? You will learn something, okay? And keep coming, which means tonight. Okay, or come back after the break, okay? Maybe we won't take a break. This is the real class. All right, so there's a debate. Everybody agrees that lower practitioners must have seen emptiness directly because they reached, some of them reached nirvana. But then what makes them lower, and how do they differ from people of the higher track? Okay, that's where we're at. We're in this kind of discussion. Then we've reached a part where somebody quoted a section of the main textbook for the lower half of the middleway school. That textbook is called Mudogen Abhisamaya Alankara, The Ornament of Realizations, written by a Sangha. Taking dictation from Maitreya, okay? All right? So spoken by the future Buddha, written down by a Sangha, who is the half-brother of Master Vasubandhu, who wrote the Abhidhamma Kosha, Treasure House of Higher Knowledge, which is the main textbook for school number one. Oh, you guys are good. Okay? So the two brothers, one of them wrote down the textbook for school number 4A, and one wrote down the textbook for school number 1. Okay. Did Master Vasubandhu believe in school number 1 when he wrote the Abhidhamma Kosha, which is the main book for school number 1? No, he wrote it as an act of confession, because he had dissed... anyway, that's a long story. So there comes a point in the Nguntogen, in the Abhisamaya Alankara, the Ornament of Realizations, where it says, Zimba Sundun Toba Pongchir Dang Zimba Mi Pongchir Dang Mi, okay? Sundun Toba Pongchir Dang Zimba Mi Pongchir Dang Mi, which means Sundun Toba Pong. Let's just talk about that, okay? Sundun Toba Pong. What does Sung mean? Sung. Lower tone, sung. It's a part of the verb zin. What's zin mean? Zin means to hold, right? Sung means held, that thing which is held. So this is the sung for my zin, okay? My eye consciousness is the zinner, the holder. And this is sung dun, means the object which is being held by the eye consciousness, okay? Sung dun topa pong. What's bongwa mean? To eliminate or to give up, or to give up a certain idea or a certain habit or a certain tendency, okay? Sundin topa pong. What's tokpa mean? Tokpa. Realization, alright? So the Abhisamaya Alankara in this line is saying, I hereby forsake my realizations of what I am observing. Huh? Good. Okay? If you spell Tokpa with an S at the end, it means a realization. If you spell it without an S at the end, it means a wrong idea. Okay? An idea in a bad sense. He's got some idea about who he is, but we all know he's not. You know, like that. So you have to be very careful, especially in a debate, right? Somebody pulls out Tokpa, then the first thing you have to ask is, are you talking about it with an S or not? Okay, so here it's Sundun Topa means to give up a misunderstanding of the thing you're holding. It's one of the worst homonyms in the Tibetan language. Okay, there's a few more, but that's the worst one. Okay, Sundun Topa Pongchir Dan Zimba Mi Pongchir Dan Ni. They give up their misunderstanding of the object that is being held, meaning the clock, right? But Zimba Mipong means what? They are not able to stop their misunderstanding of the person who is holding that, or the mind, or the consciousness which is holding that thing, okay? Zimba can be divided into two if you're interested. This is the class where I get to say everything. Kongsak and Namshe. The person, Michael, holding the clock, or you can say Michael's eye consciousness holding the clock. Zimba can be a person, and Zimba can be a consciousness, which are different, because persons are not mental. Persons are a concept. Okay? But in this case, they are the holder. Okay? So Zimba, Sundun Toba Pongchu Dan, they have eliminated their misperception, misunderstanding of the clock, but not of the person observing the clock, or that person's mind. Got it? Then we had, we struggled through, I think it took a year, we struggled through three objections to that statement, right? And the first one, well, the second one is most interesting, right? Sung Jin Ki Sema Zhe Sheng Ki Tongwa, right? Sung Jin Ki Sema Zhe Sheng Ki Tongwa. And let's get really complicated. So, the lower half of the highest school says there are three levels of emptiness, okay? That are important. They also say other levels of emptiness, but there are three important ones, okay? One is Rangya Tupe Zeyu Ki Tongwa. Rangya Tupe Zeyu Ki Tongwa means objects and people are not Zeyu, okay? They are not Zeyu. They are not substantial. Ze means substance. Zeyu means substantial, okay? Rangya Tupa, do you know? Self-standing. They cannot stand on their own, okay? Rangya Tupe, Zeyu Ki Tongwa you can say for them, in this context, the lowest form of emptiness, okay? They don't call it emptiness, they call it selflessness, okay? We better be proper. The lowest form of selflessness, no self, nature, right? The microphone is not itself, okay? A pen is not itself, okay? Selflessness means a pen is not itself, okay? And that, you know the pen thing, I've taught it like 10,000 times, right? A dog sees a pen as something to chew, a human sees a pen as something to write with. Who's correct? Both. I put the pen up here, the dog leaves the room, the human leaves the room. Which one is it? You can say neither, okay? Therefore, we can conclude that the penness is not in the pen. It must be coming from me. If penness were in the pen, if the pen were itself, then the dog would also see it as a pen. So the penness must be coming from my side, okay? The penness isn't in the pen. People struggle with words self-existent, exist from its own side, exist in and of itself. I think you could dump all those words and just say in. Okay. I like simplicity. Nagarjuna did too, right? He wrote little tiny sentences. Is the pen in the pen? No, it's coming from you. Okay. How does it come from you? A seed opens in your mind. Who put the seed there? Nobody else can put a seed in the mind except you. Okay? How do you put a seed for a pen in your mind? You need another person. You always need another person. How do you plant a seed with another person? You give them a pen when they need one. And that plants a seed in your own subconscious. And then you see a pen as a pen. Okay? But the pen is not a pen in the pen. There's no pen in the pen. It's coming from you. So this part of this important text seems to be saying that there could be a point in your life where you understood that the pen, it wasn't in the pen, okay? You understood that what you were looking at didn't exist in itself, okay? But you haven't yet understood that the looking at it, that the state of mind looking at it, is also coming from seeds, okay? You understood that the pen is coming from seeds, but you haven't grasped that the mind looking at the pen is also coming from a seed. And that's a reasonable thing to say, right? It's easier for you to understand that the pen is not the pen by itself and that it's coming from you. It's a little bit harder to say whether you understand me right now or not is also coming from seeds in your mind. Depending on how nice you were last week to somebody, whether you understand what I'm saying right now comes from how nice you were to somebody recently. Okay? Got it? That's a little harder to understand than the pen is coming from your mind. Your mind is also coming from seeds in your mind. What thoughts you hear in your mind is little tiny karmic seeds cracking open one after the other at the rate of 65 per second. Okay? Okay? You have to be nice 65 times to have one good thought. Okay? Can we say that Michael's consciousness, Michael's awareness, visual awareness of the pen and the pen have both come from karmic seeds? Yeah. And in this school, they make a big deal about they have come from one karmic seed. One karmic seed has cracked open. Okay, here's the karmic seed. It cracks open into the seer and the seen. Got it? And that's comfortable for us because we've studied Korsum, which means what? The three spheres, okay? Which means what? When you meet an irritating person, okay? I repeat this over and over, people smile at me and then they complain about somebody the next. Anyway, okay, when you meet an irritating person over here and you're in the room with them, you're in the room with an irritating person, three things are going on. There's you. There's an irritating person, and there's the fact that you bumped into them today in the room. Okay? Each of those three things is coming from you. You brought them to the room, you brought you to the room, and you brought you and them together. You are responsible for all three. And we can say that all three have grown from a single seed in the way that branches of a tree grow from a single seed. Okay? So, you know, branches of a tree are in different places, but they've all grown from a single seed. Okay? So by the time they grow, that person is over here and you're over here. But you can think of them as different branches of one tree that grew from one seed. So one version of emptiness in the lower half of the middle way school is to grasp that me and the person who irritates me have come from the same karmic seed, which was planted by me. So how can I be irritated at them? Who's at fault here? Whose fault is it always? You can also say whose credit is it? I mean, if you meet somebody nice. I mean, you can kind of concentrate on that. It makes your life a little easier than to believe that every irritating person you came from is coming from you, that you met is coming from you. Okay, so in this school, a kind of emptiness, one version of emptiness is to grasp that there is no separate person. There is no irritating person who exists outside of the seeds in your mind. There's no irritating person who grew from a different seed than you did. And that seed was planted by you. You see, emptiness must always be stated as a negative, right? There is no irritating person who's coming from a different seed than the seed of the person who's perceiving them. Got it? And that's a kind of absence. That's a kind of non-existence. There's no such thing. Let's say it in simple English. There's no such thing as an irritating person you meet who is not growing from the same seed as you are that you planted. Okay? And that's emptiness. That's a not-there-ness. Got it? Emptiness is always something not there. There's no such thing as an irritating person that you've ever met who wasn't coming from you. Got it? And that's a form of emptiness. Okay? Then a question comes up, okay? There's a verse in the Abhisamankara which says, basically, it's easier to understand the thing you're seeing than to understand the thing who's seeing it, the person who's seeing it. It's easier to understand the nature of what you're looking at than it is to understand the nature of the looker, right? But then in the context of me and the person who irritates me coming from the same seed, is it more difficult? Okay? Someone taught me, you are coming from the same karmic seed as the person who irritates you. I am the holder. I am the one with the irritation. They are the one who is irritating. Got it? At that point in my understanding, would it be more difficult for me to understand that they are coming from a seed than to understand that I am coming from a seed? What do you think? I've explained to you that both of you are coming from the same seed. Is it more difficult to grasp that they are than you are? Not after I've explained it. You see what I mean? After I said you're both coming from the same seed, then it's not like, you know, a big jump to say, oh yeah, I'm coming from the seed and they're coming from the seed. Right? It's not such a big deal. Okay? Now, you want it more complicated? I've always had, and I stated this last time, but I'll say it again for your benefit, okay? Since we're going deep, okay? And if you're lost, just, you know, do a crossword puzzle or something. And don't stress, okay? Please don't stress. These guys have been waiting 20 years for this. They deserve it. Okay. I always had trouble with that flavor of emptiness because it sounded pretty damn good to me. It didn't sound that different from Madhyamika Prasangika. It didn't sound that different from number 6 to me, okay? I had trouble, okay? And you have to know that there's another version or there's another addition here, okay? You have to add the words, an external object which exists of partless atoms, okay? An external object which exists of partless atoms. What's that mean? Okay? What's that mean? Our view of the world is wrong. The view of science is wrong. Today and yesterday we were talking with somebody from Princeton University. They want me to come there and give a talk. Last time I went there and they trapped me into a yoga class in a gym. I think 200 people came. And then they stuck me in this lecture room in the art museum. And there were some physicists there. And they listened to the talk, and then they rushed up to me afterwards and said, that could change science completely. And I'm like, yeah. You know? And I was like, you got it. They said, come back and let's work together. I said, let's write a book together. And they said, yeah. And I said, I have an idea for the title. They said, what? I said, A Better History of Time. You know? So anyway, I really do. And we're going back again, okay? Just today and yesterday we're talking about it. Partless. Our worldview in modern times is the partless atoms worldview. What do I mean? We believe that things are made of little pieces, little particles. You can call them atoms, you can call them molecules, it doesn't really matter, okay? Let's call them atoms, okay? Atom, by the way, atom comes from Sanskrit. Atom means dividable. The word temple comes from that because it was separated from the village. Okay? And atom means not dividable. Atom. So an atom, the word atom means an indivisible little thing. Okay? You can't get smaller than that. We believe that different atoms are endowed, or collections of atoms are endowed with certain properties. Okay, if you have an iron atom, that will absorb the red range of the spectrum more easily, and that object will look green, like something that rusted, right? Oxidized. Okay, so we believe that those atoms have their own inherent qualities. Okay, if you have an atom of iron, the element iron, Fe, right? Then that will act differently from a carbon atom, like that. We believe that. We think that the atoms have those qualities within them somehow, right? And that's the basis of science. And then you add carbon to an object, or you add iron to an object, or you add aluminum, and then the object changes its qualities, right? And we believe that. So we are sort of the partless atom school in modern times, okay? And what's the problem with the partless atom school? Then you get into the question of what is the smallest particle of matter that can be distinct, right? Can have a quality. And then you would say, is it the smallest? And they say, yeah, atam, atam, indivisible. Okay, you can talk about particles whizzing around it, but it's atam. Once you split it, it loses its qualities. Okay, if you could split an iron atom, it wouldn't act like iron anymore. Okay, it's the smallest particle that exhibits the qualities of iron. So that's why we call it element. Element means the lowest common denominator. So in Buddhism, we have a problem with that. Okay, we have a problem with the idea of an atom. And it's the same argument that we talked about yesterday. Is an atom perceivable? Yes, it can be measured. Does it have a width? Yes, it has a width. However small it is, it must have a width. If it didn't have a width, its left side would bump into its right side, and it wouldn't be there. Got it? Okay. It must have a left side and a right side, and there's got to be something between them, okay? Or else the left side would be the right side, and then there wouldn't be anything there. So it must have width. All width can be divided. Any width can be divided. You can just take that number, whatever it is, 10, what do you call it, milli? What do you measure atoms in? I don't know. That's this thing. Anyway, you can split it. You can just divide it by 2 and it's split, okay? And then in theory, you should be able to measure that, except that it wouldn't be observable because it's now smaller than the smallest observable thing. Got it? If the left side were inobservable, then you couldn't clump them together and see the whole thing. If you can't observe the left side of an atom and observe the right side of an atom, by not visual means, but electron microscope or something like that, then you couldn't see it. If you can't see my right side and my left side, you can't see Michael's chest, okay? If my right side were too small to see, you couldn't see me. Got it? You must be able to distinguish between left side and the right side and left side to see a thing. If you can't observe in some manner the right side and the left side, then you can't see the thing. It's not possible, right? But it's already the smallest observable thing. Okay. Think of it like a wall, okay? If you cannot perceive a brick, can you perceive a wall? Look at the walls of this room. You know, if you couldn't see a brick, could you see the wall? No, the wall is made of bricks. You look at one brick, and then you look at a collection of bricks, and you see a wall, right? If the brick were too small to see, and you piled them up, could you see anything? No. Okay. I mean, the whole thing is crazy. The atom theory is crazy, okay? The idea of atoms with qualities or natures or elemental properties to them is crazy, okay? For that reason. Well, then how do you explain that those bricks are holding up the wall? Right? Don't they have a certain combination of elements in them, calcium, silicon, that are desirable for weight bearing of buildings, right? And isn't that what holds up the building? And then I can say, well, did it hold up the World Trade Center? And then you can say, well, that's kind of a kooky thing to say, Geshe Michael. I mean, it got hit by an airplane, you know? And then I'll say, but did the weight-bearing qualities of the elements in the building fail to hold it up at that time? Yes. Then we can say that sometimes the weight-bearing qualities hold up a building and sometimes they don't. Under some conditions, they do hold up the building, and under some conditions, they don't hold up the building. If they only hold up the building, sometimes they are not holding up the building. Okay? What's really holding up the building? What gives the silicon and the carbon and the... What gives them their strength? It's karma, okay? It's my kindness. I have provided shelter to someone. Are there atoms of carbon in the bricks? Yes. Do they have qualities? Yes. Who put them there? My kindness, my willingness to shelter someone else has imbued those atoms with those qualities. They don't have those qualities. They are not in them. Okay? They are coming from me. The weight-bearing capacity of these bricks is coming from me. And when the seeds in my mind for having given shelter to another person wear out, that roof will collapse. Must collapse. Okay, I gave this talk in 1999. Then I went into 3-year retreat, and people were mulling it over when the world. I was giving the example of the World Trade Center at the what is it, Quaker Church, right? 1999, and people were like, wow, that was weird, because it did fall down, you know, and it was cool. Anyway, that's why I got out of New York. We believe in that. Okay, so when we talk about the worldview of believing that the clock and I have come from the same seed, right? And that we didn't come from different seeds. We are empty of coming from different seeds, right? You should add the phrase, a clock which consists of atoms which have their own properties. Okay? A clock which consists of atoms which have their own properties, which is already impossible. Then you can say it didn't come from a different seed than the person holding the clock. Got it? Okay? If you add the thing made of plastic molecules that have their own properties, it's already impossible. Forget holding it or not holding it. A clock which is made of atoms, molecules of plastic which have their own properties, is already an impossibility. If you say, I believe that I come from a separate seed, then this clock which is made of its own molecules of its own properties, then it becomes double crazy. Got it? All right? You got it? All right. It is a beautiful kind of highest school emptiness to say that you and I come from the same karmic seed. We have grown from one karmic seed. For me, Chapman has grown from the same karmic seed. Okay? That's worldview number 6, so be careful. That worldview is not wrong as it's stated, unless you add the extra sentence that the plastic molecules have their own qualities. Got it? Okay? Just for those of you who are into teaching Mahamudra, when you get there, I'm sure you'll remember and explain that. Okay. Okay. Now, the root text says, okay? It says, they understand something about the clock, but they don't get it about themselves. Okay? Then we have an objection to that on 3 grounds. I'm just reviewing. We didn't get to class yet, okay? We object on 3 grounds. I'm going to tell you the second one because it's more sexy, okay? Are you telling me that a person could reasonably understand that the clock is coming from the same karmic seed as the person who holds it, but they don't get it, that the person who holds it is coming from the same karmic seed as the clock? I'll say it again. Are you telling me a person could understand that the clock is coming from the same karmic seed as the person holding it, and still not yet understand that the person who's holding the clock is coming from the same karmic seed as the clock? Come on. I mean, it's just this, right? It's just this. Like, hey, man. Was that Hawaii? Yeah, yeah. I forget if it's good or bad. Anyway. I remember Rinpoche did some hand gesture in Brazil in an elevator, and everybody was getting angry. But anyway, like for some reason, it was the wrong thing. Anyway, that's obviously wrong, okay? Then the other 2 objections that we have to their idea is a little bit more difficult, okay? Are you telling me that there's something about things that you see that is much harder to observe than things about the seer? Is it harder to understand something about the seer than it is to understand something about the seen? What do you think? Yeah, I'd say it is. I mean, I would say it is, okay? Do I understand that the pen is coming from my seats? Yes. Do you also understand that whether or not you understand today is coming from your seats? Well, that's, I can mull it over. I understand the pen thing. And then I guess you could apply it to my own mind. I guess the state of my own mind's intellect is also coming from my kindness to others. I can handle that. But it's a little slower, right? It's a little harder to understand it about your state of mind than it is to understand it about the pen, right? But our position is that it's not much harder. Okay? Like I'm in DCI talks half my life. The first night we cover the pen. The second night we cover your level of business acumen, your level of business understanding. And people get it. You know, people who never heard any Buddhism in their whole life, they get it. By the second night, they get it. Our position of our school is, come on, it's not that much harder. If you tell somebody, look, your mind is the same as the pen, you know, the state of your mind is the same as the pen. It's also coming from your kindness to others. Whether you're intelligent or not is coming from how much you share things with others. Then once they get the pen thing, it's not a big jump to get to the second thing. Okay, that's all. That's our position. Third position. Is it more difficult to overcome your habit of thinking that the clock comes from itself than it is to overcome your habit of thinking that your intellect comes from itself? And from what we just said, it's not much harder. Okay? Got it? In the second objection, we're talking about the nature of the thing, the object, right? Is it harder to understand that the clock is coming from seeds than it is to understand that your mind is coming from seeds? Not much harder, okay? One is not much harder than the other. Is it then much harder to overcome your habit of thinking it's coming not from seeds than it is to overcome your habit of thinking that your mind doesn't come from seeds? Not much harder. I mean, it's about the same. So we say, therefore, this statement by the Maitreya, the next Buddha, that Sundin Dobo Pongjida Zimba Mi Pongjidani, that they have eliminated something to do, they have eliminated a wrong idea about the clock, but they have not yet eliminated a wrong idea about the eye which sees the clock, cannot refer to what you think it does. Got it? Maitreya wouldn't say something like that. If you get it about this, you get it about this. Come on. Okay, that's not what Maitreya meant. It must be Ngeden or Changden. That statement must be literal or figurative. It must be figurative. He's not saying what he seemed to be saying. Got it? According to our higher school. Okay, here we go. Now we're ready to start the class. I'm going to review three flavors of emptiness that are being discussed here, okay? They are considered three types of emptiness. And emptiness, you have to think selfless. Technically, I can't use the word emptiness because that, in this school, refers to the highest of the three. The lower two are called selflessness, lack of a self. Lack of being itself might be easier. I prefer to say it's not itself rather than saying it has no self. Why? The word self oftentimes refers to a person, right? I myself, or himself, or herself, right? We use the word self in the English language most commonly to people. Then when you go around saying Buddhism says that there's no self, people think, but I am myself, okay? You have to understand that in Buddhism, the word self, used in the context that things don't have a self, means they are not themselves. Okay? And that's different from saying they don't have a self. Like, Alistair doesn't have a self, so he's just, what, a statue? Okay? Got it? So be careful of the word anatman, no self. Okay? It just means things are not themselves. Is a pen itself? By itself. Good. Okay? You can say it's itself, but it's not itself by itself or in itself. Got it? It's coming from me. The reason it looks like a pen is coming from me. Because I gave a pen to somebody else. Got it? A dog didn't give a pen to somebody else. They see a chew toy. Which one is it? Both. It's reasonable. Okay? It's coming from their mind. They're both acceptable. It just depends on what seed you have. Okay? So, there are three versions of no self in this school, lower middle way school. Here's number one. This is supposed to be easier, all right? Kaza rangya tupa zeyu gitong, okay? Kazak, say Kazak. Rangya tupa zeyu gitong. Raise your left hand. Raise your right hand. Do you have the power to raise your hand? Yeah, apparently. You can say apparently. You know, I said raise your left hand, and you apparently have authority over your arm. Apparently you can think of it, I like to think of it as, I always think of it as those big cranes. Like I was in Kaohsiung, and they're building a lot, which is unusual. And there's cranes everywhere, these big, huge cranes, and they are lifting big pieces of buildings up, right? Huge, huge cranes. And then there's this little box, little glass box, way up in the top. Man, I wouldn't want to sit up there. And there's some guy sitting there with a, he's got a microphone to the guy on the ground, and he's going like this. And he's lifting up a 20-ton piece of building, you know, and it's, you're just like, wow, it must be cool to sit there and go like this. So we kind of think that there's a me up there in a little glass box. And Michael says, raise your left hand. And he goes, raise left hand. And then, you know, you go like this, you know, and then you think there's somebody in control, right? Then when you lose control, you get really upset, you know. Something happens to your arm. You have a stroke. You can't raise your left arm. And you get, it's bad to have a stroke. You can't do things with your left arm, right? But the mental part, the emotional part is much worse, right? You thought you were in control of your body, and apparently you aren't, okay? When it hits you, it's very demoralizing. Your whole life is crushed. Your whole life, the happiness of your life is crushed. Somebody gets a serious stroke and they can't use their arm anymore. It's not just the arm. It's the knowledge that they're not in control, you know, and you aren't. All right, so that's you are not in control. Okay, you can't really control anything. In the present moment, you can't control what your boyfriend's doing in the present moment. You can plant seeds. You can't like stick they sell roses in sticks, right? Sometimes. I grew my 8-foot roses from sticks, the old way. You know, like you stick a stick in the ground and you do all these things and it starts to grow, right? So, but then it grows really high, right? And then you have control. I don't have control over the little stick. I put the stick in the ground, I can't say, where's the rose? You know, like I was kind of impatient. I actually had a teacher come to my house, a rose teacher, this old lady, and she showed me how to put the sticks in the ground. And I'm like, so next week, am I going to have roses? You know, and she's like, no, it don't work that way. You know, you got to wait till next season. Then the roses will grow. Okay, so can you control your boyfriend can you control your boyfriend? I mean, this is a big question. We can say, yeah, if you can plant desirable qualities in your boyfriend, but then you have to wait until the plant grows. So in the present moment, you can't control your boyfriend, but you can plant what you want, and he will be what you want in 6 months or 6 weeks, okay, like that. Do we have control? Yeah, but not immediate control, okay? Got it? It better be good, because they only get this once every 6 months. Yeah. You plant a seed in the past to believe in planting seeds, and then you can control the seeds in the present moment. That's easy. Okay, here we go. All right. So the first version of emptiness is that I don't have control. Okay? I don't have. Rankya Tupa means control. I'm not self-standing in the sense of having control. Okay? I'm not the little guy in the glass booth. Okay? Second form of emptiness. Sugdan sungjing gi tsema zeshing gi tong. You know, I am not coming from the same karmic seed as the things I experience. Okay? I put myself here. Every situation that comes to you, you have put yourself there. All right? And you have to appreciate that. All of these worldviews, these are lower forms of emptiness. They're not correct. But are they useful? Yes. Yeah, I mean, and that's why Buddha taught them. And he swore they were emptiness. I swear, they're empty. You know, he's like, I swear, they're emptiness. Okay, all right? Because it would help somebody. All right? You can swear anything if it would help somebody. Yeah, anyway, okay. And then third kind of emptiness, although they don't, they state it in this text very often. It's a lone mela nawe wangi shasa mayimba yu rangi tumumu yimbi duluksu jupe toa. Okay, very beautiful. Things do appear from their own side, but it takes an impression from my own side, from my side, to make the thing there. Okay? Ted does appear from his side, but without a reasonable perception from my side. Reasonable means not drunk, not stoned, not on acid, not in extreme jealousy at my girlfriend. There's a reasonable perception coming from my side, which confirms that he's coming from there, and they meet in the middle, okay? And therefore he's there. Got it? It's a 50-50, and it's still wrong. Yeah. It's 50-50. Yeah. I am skipping. Yeah. Okay? So in this school, that's a mind only, that's a different school. In this school, emptiness, okay, the word emptiness can only be correctly applied to the realization that Teddy wouldn't be there without my participation. Okay? Without something coming from me, he wouldn't be there. Okay? But it assumes that something's also coming from him, which the highest school doesn't assume. Got it? Highest school says 100% from me. Lower half of the highest school says half from his side, half from my side. You gotta, when you get down to seeing emptiness, actually when you get down to the hours before you see emptiness directly, you gotta be careful with this one, okay? You gotta be careful with this one. At Dorlam Chuchok, at the highest realizations before you see emptiness directly, what you perceive, for example, a pot on the stove, right? You do perceive data, okay? You do perceive data. There is a white shine. There is a black stick, okay? There is a black straight and a shine round, okay? There is data, and then you interpret it in a certain way, okay? That's true, okay? But that data is not coming from its own side, okay? That data is also coming from you. Got it? So be careful. If you're in the higher middle way school, you will say, yes, dependent origination ultimately means I see data and my mind organizes it into an object depending on how kind I've been to others. Got it? The lower middle way school would say, I see data which is really out there by itself independent of my kindness to others. And then I interpret it. Got it? See the difference? We say the data also is coming from me. And if you go down one more level and you investigate the data, that's also coming from me. Got it? But it's okay not to keep saying the data which came from me, I interpret as Teddy. Okay? You, just for convenience sake, you don't go around saying, does Teddy look good today? And you say, yeah, the parts of Teddy which are coming from me, I also see as good which is coming from me. Okay? It's okay to say, yeah, his hair looks good to me. I mean, or whatever, his lack of hair, I don't know. Okay. Got it? All right. So that's school number, that's selflessness number two in this school. Okay? In the lower middle way school, to say that, I'm sorry, we were on emptiness. I'm sorry, take that back. We were on emptiness. Emptiness in this school, viewpoint number three, which can only be perceived by bodhisattvas in this school. Okay? People who have developed ultimate love, okay? Only they have the karma, enough karma, to see that Teddy, my perception of Teddy, is a collaboration. He's providing raw data, and I'm interpreting it. Got it? According to seeds in my mind. Got it? And that's real emptiness in this school. To state it more complicatedly, the fact that let's make it easier. There's some pieces of Teddy flying at me, and there's something coming from me, and we meet in the middle, okay? And that makes Teddy. There's pieces of Teddy out there, and my mind organizes them into a certain kind of person, okay? Got it? Everything's like that. Got it? Nothing's not like that. Is that all right? Are you comfortable? I'll say it again. Everything is like that, right? That's dependent origination. Nothing's not like that. That's emptiness. Say it positively, it's dependent origination. Say it as a double negative, it's emptiness. Nothing is not coming like that. Got it? Nothing doesn't come that way. That's emptiness, okay? In this system, that's called Chö Ki Dangme Trumbo. Say Chö ki, dogme, tamo. The subtle lack of self to things. Okay? The subtle lack of self to things, which in this school is real emptiness. Okay? As opposed to the lack of self to people. Okay? As opposed to the lack of self of people. Right? Got it? That's the subtle lack of self-existence to things. Okay? What's the grosser lack of self-existence to things? That's viewpoint number two. Okay, that's the object of viewpoint number two. Okay, that's emptiness number two. What is emptiness number two in this school? Jared and me are not coming from the same karmic scene when I look at him. Got it? And that's called the gross lack of self to things. All right. Then we drop down to emptiness number one, which is supposed to be simpler to see. That's the fact that I'm not in control of my hand. Okay? And that's called the subtle lack of self to people. Okay? There's something missing in these three. What would it be? To make it sort of all neat and parallel. There should be a fourth one, right? There should be an obvious lack of a self to people. They don't count it in this system directly, but it is the first of the six flavors, which you know to be things don't last forever. Okay? Things don't last forever. That's the obvious lack of a self to people. Got it? Okay? I'm healthy right now. I can do the advanced yoga right now. It ain't going to be like that later. Okay? It ain't going to be like that later. It's a kind of emptiness. All right? I'm not going to last forever. The body's not going to last forever. The 2 hours I spent in Jenny's class made me stronger, and they also brought me 2 hours closer to death. I gained some wrinkles during the class. You know, wrinkles don't happen every 10th year. They happen as you go. You just don't see them until, you know, 3 years pass. Somebody's, you know, you meet somebody from your high school and they're like, "Hi, you look great. You look just like before." And then that means you don't. Or they wouldn't have to say it, right? Anyway, so those are four kinds of selflessness. They can all be called selflessness. Only the first three are relevant to this discussion. And only the first one in this school can be called properly emptiness, shunyata. Okay? The other three are selflessnesses. They're all four are selflessnesses. Only the one about we meet in the middle and we're not different, right? Me and Teddy meet in the middle is in this school true emptiness. We haven't got to the class yet, okay? I'm still reviewing. This happens every time and we never get anywhere. Okay, I took you through that little summary which I wrote down for you. Rikchen Sumga La Tongni Ngonsam Du Topa Yepe Wang Du Che Na Yang De Tar Mi Te Te. Okay. Do people, according to this school, do people of all three tracks, all three capacities. By the way, never mix the three capacities mentioned in the lower middle way school with the three capacities mentioned in the Lamrim, because they're different. They're totally different. Okay, don't get confused. Okay? The people of three capacities from the Lamrim is not at all the same as the three capacities from the lower middle way school. Okay? In the lower middle way school, they kind of refer to whether or not you get those three kinds of emptiness. Okay? In the Lamrim, it means, are you taking responsibility for everybody? Or do you just want to get your rear end out of samsara yourself? Or do you just want to get to a better rebirth yourself? Okay? Those are the three Lamrim levels. That's not what we're talking about here. Okay? Rikchen Sumga La Tongni Ngonsam Du Topa Yepe Wang Du Che Na Nyang De Ta Mi Te Te. Your distinctions that you are making. Now we're on to new material. Dang. Okay. I'm just going to go straight, okay? If you got to take pee-pee, you are hereby have permission to get up in the class and go take a pee-pee, okay? That's a big deal in the monastery. Otherwise, you have just to sit there like that. If you have to go to the bathroom or you need to get a drink or you got to splash water on your face, feel free. Or you want to leave, it's okay. I don't care. I care, but anyway. So the distinction you're making says our school... who's our school? We are now higher middle way. Okay? Higher middle way is talking to lower middle way. We don't like the distinction you're making. Even if you're making with the idea that people on all three tracks see emptiness directly, okay? We still have a problem with you. Okay? We still have a problem with what you're saying about three tracks. Got it? All right? Do people of all three tracks see emptiness directly? Or not? They reach nirvana. They reach nirvana. They must see emptiness directly. Okay? So even if we all agree that they reach nirvana and they saw emptiness directly, right? We have a problem with you. We say demitete. You still be wrong. Okay? All your blah blah is wrong. Still. Okay? Why? Dekhon anye tseme nyer do pog nu mi nu. Rikpe namrantaye begone to ma tok. To ma tok kebar yebe echir. Okay? If you say all of them see emptiness directly, does the division into three tracks no longer relevant? It would seem that way, okay? It would seem that way. If you have defined three levels of practitioner according to whether or not they see varying degrees of emptiness, right? That's okay. And then you say, no, the emptiness that they see is all the same. It has to be the same. Okay, even if you say that, you can still have those divisions. You can say there's different levels of practitioners without having to say they see different kinds of emptiness. Okay, why? Some are faster than others. Some see it faster than others. You could call it slow pokes, medium pokes, and high pokes. Okay, something like that, okay? You can do that. That's okay. You could make a distinction on how fast they see emptiness. Like, you give them an explanation on whatever date it is, November 7th, 8th, 7th. You give them an explanation on November 7th, and then some of them see emptiness by December, and some of them see emptiness by January, and we can call level one people the people who see it 300 years from then. Got it? Okay. Or, Rigpa Tayepe Gone. Okay. Say Rigpa Tayepe Gone. Okay. This is an interesting... some people make the distinction between Mahayana and Hinayana with regards to emptiness only on the thirst for more proofs of emptiness. Okay? Only on the thirst for more proofs of emptiness. Okay? In that case, you would be Hinayana or lower way if you said, you know, Geshe-la, I got it, what you said about the pen, you know. Don't ask me to come to the Umajidan class. It just confuses me, you know. You got like 48 different kinds of emptiness, and it just confuses me. Let me stay with the pen thing. I understand the pen thing, you know. I'll stick with the pen thing. Then they don't want too many proofs of emptiness because it kind of makes it confusing for them, okay. Then Mahayana in that case is defined as someone who's like, give me 10 more proofs. Give me 100 more proofs. Got it? What would be a good reason why they would want more proofs when they can understand it with a pen? They have a bigger toolbox. They have more ways of teaching emptiness. You meet some hardcore guy in Jalisco, and he says, I don't understand the pen thing. Then you say, well, I got this aspirin thing. He says, I don't understand the aspirin thing. And then you can pull out the three kinds of emptiness and the six flavors of Mahamudra, and, you know, you can keep talking until he finally says, oh, I get it. All right, but if you only know the pen thing, then you can't really help somebody. So bodhisattvas thirst for more spiritual knowledge, even if they don't need it for their own personal advancement, you see? They just want different ways of proving things so they can help other people. Got it? Okay. We finished that quotation. It's right here. I have to translate it. I didn't translate it yet. Okay, part of this class is that I thought at the beginning it would be more efficient if I translated it as we went. I don't know. The following statements. So you can kind of see what it entails to translate something. That was kind of my hope in doing this class since 2003, was you could see a translator at work. Like, we used to set up diamond cutting machines in shopping malls. You know how many diamonds you sell? And you give a guy a piece of bort. Bort means oil well drill stuff. You don't give him a real diamond. You give him a piece of junk. And he sits there all day and cuts it. And he doesn't make a diamond. He's just cutting this junk. And then people come up and say, oh, you make your own diamonds? And you're like, yeah. And then they buy diamonds, you know. You have diamonds from India there. Okay. Anyway, it's more interesting to watch somebody do it, right? Because they are able to stop. Their misunderstanding of what is held, of the object held. Okay? He stops in the middle of the sentence, okay? Statements such as the following. Alistair, why am I saying such as the following? Yeah, soak, okay? Let's consider statements such as the following. And then, this is an extremely difficult statement. They're all from the Abhisamalankara, okay? They're all from the text we're talking about. Yeah, good. Thank you. Even Bill Gates got that. Okay. All right. Nyamong Sheja Lamsung Ki. I'm going to give you the whole quotation, okay? So I'm trying to teach this in a complete way. He takes little snippets from texts that the monks will know because they memorized them when they were 12 years old. Okay, this text is usually memorized at the age of 12. So I have to fill in pieces for you, okay? Nyomong Sheja, say Nyomong Sheja Lam Sum Ki. It's a half a sentence. It doesn't make any sense by itself. I'm going to give you the whole verse. You ready? I went and got it for you at Paradise Cafe this morning, which is why I didn't make it to yoga. Okay. Which you're never supposed to do. Okay. Nyamo sheja lamsung ki nyamche lo maseru dang yase nang ki daba te sangin nang kun shintuwa. This is a very famous quotation from this text, okay? It says, mental afflictions, nyamo, sheja, noble thing, lamsum, the three paths, ki, of, nyamchir, got worse, therefore, lobma, student, seru, rhinoceros, dung, and gyalse, bodhisattva, nam, dakpa, purity, shuddha, right? Te, sangye, buddha, namkun, all of them, all the different kinds of buddhas, shintuwa. Shintu we had yesterday. No, shintu, very. Shintuwa means veryness. Okay, so let's translate. You ready? I'll say the words again. Mental affliction, all noble things, three paths. Got worse, student, rhinoceros. Bodhisattvas, pure. Buddhas, all of them, very much. We talked about trying to understand a person who's living in 500 years in the future, right? This is my trad talking. It doesn't make any sense at all. Okay, take a piece of that and quote it in this book, which is there, right? That's all, I added it, okay? The stuff below, I went and got it for you out of the Tengyur, okay? He quoted a piece of it, which is even more crazy, okay? He just quoted a piece of it. All we have is mental affliction, everything you could know, three paths of. Okay, all right? Try to appreciate what it is to translate this guy. All right. So I went to the greatest commentator in Tibetan history, besides Tsongkhapa, Choni Lama. Okay, Choni Lama is a Lama from the 1700s, 1600 to 1700, who came from Amdo, and there's a place called Choni. Amdo is sort of like East Tibet, okay? And he came to Serame and he studied and he became famous and he wrote a secondary series of textbooks, okay? And they were lost. They were burned during the invasion of Tibet. And we found copies in Russia, okay? And the Diamond Cutter commentary is one of them. But this is another one. He wrote a commentary on the perfection of wisdom, okay? Very beautiful. And we're very lucky to have it. We didn't have it for about 20 years. All right, and we found it. Dumbuni, Nyentu Dra Chombe Gyuki Goden Che Chen. Okay, we're right here. Nyentu Dra Chombe Gyuki Goden Che Chen. Che Chen means let's consider the Gokden. Ku Ji Mie Dao. What's that mean? Where's that from? Heart Sutra, Xinjing. Very famous line from the Xinjing Heart Sutra. It means suffering, its source, its end, and the path, which is what? The four Arya truths, good, the four truths of a person who has seen emptiness directly, right? Okay? So Gokden means that. Gokden means the truth of having stopped something. Okay, Gokten, you can say cessation, all right? We call it the truth of the end of something, okay? Understand that Gokten, the mi, in mi dao, in ku jie mi dao, the mi means stopped something, okay? And it can mean stopped any undesirable quality, all right? It doesn't have to refer to pain. It could refer to the habit of thinking that the pen is coming from itself. If you stop that by learning, by going to a talk, right? If you stop your habit of thinking that pens or your criticizing husband comes from you, doesn't come from you, yeah, then you've achieved a cessation. That's a cessation. I no longer think that my criticizing husband is his fault. I now understand he's coming from me. Then that's a cessation. You've achieved a cessation. So the word cessation is a little too complicated, right? You stop thinking of him the wrong way. Let's put it that way, okay? So the stop thinking of things of the wrong way in the gyu, in the mental stream of a Dra Chomba Arhat, who is a Nyentu, who is a Shravaka, who is a listener, who is on the lowest of the three tracks, okay? Hinayana, low Hinayana person, okay? Who's able to stop thinking of something the wrong way, and he's an arhat now, okay? He stopped, in this case, he stopped his mental afflictions, right? Let's consider that the end of his mental afflictions, all right? Let's consider the end of his or her mental afflictions. Che Chen. Loban Nyentu Nam Gote. People who are students or listeners, they need that. They need that. Got it? They gotta get that. What's that? The stopping of their mental afflictions because they understood things. Got it? They need that. Those listeners, who he calls here students. Let's go back to the original quotation. Nyamong Sheja Lam Sun Ki. Then let's pretend it's a crossword puzzle, okay? Nyamong is a mental affliction, right? Nyam means make it stop, make it get less, okay? Nyam. Loma, the student. So now by taking the first part of each sentence, it means the student who gets rid of his mental afflictions. Got it? The student who gets rid of his mental afflictions has a purity, has a certain kind of purity, okay? A student who has gotten rid of his mental afflictions has a certain kind of purity. So now we understand from the commentary, it means a person on the first of the three tracks who uses his track's emptiness to stop his mental afflictions, he needs that understanding to stop his mental afflictions. Got it? Okay? It could refer to the emptiness, the form of emptiness that he sees. But more correctly, it refers to which level of cessation he has achieved. Okay? Arhat. Yeah, but we're distinguishing between different levels of arhats here. Okay? He's called a student. Like a student trainer bike, he's a trainer arhat. He reached nirvana, but he's on trainer wheels. Got it? You can call trainer. Loma means trainer. Anyway, the point is that in the root text, when they say a training person, it refers to a shravaka, to a listener, to the lowest of the three tracks. Got it? And he sees a certain form of emptiness, which allows him to stop his mental afflictions and reach nirvana. Got it? That's all. And then he achieves some kind of purity. Got it? It's late. Sorry. Your mind's already fried. You got 25 more minutes. Hang in there. Then he says, we're down to here. See where my thing is here? Nyomo pangwe nyente ki dowa. Okay? Nyomo means what? Mental affliction. Pangba, pongwa. Gave up. Gave up his mental afflictions. Nyente. I'm not going to do that part. Okay. It just means he needs that. He has that kind of cessation. Rangyal. Who's a rangyal? Rang sangye. Self-made Buddha, okay? Otherwise known as a siru. Rhinoceros, okay? All right. Okay? Second track people who are still Hinayana, but they are a little bit better Hinayana, are known as siru. A nickname for them is siru. Siru means rhinoceros. They are called rhinoceros because they tend to be a loner. He's a loner. Sit by himself. There's a Neil Young song. He's the loner. Anyway, you're hoping I won't sing that. Okay. So Rangel Drachombe, people who have reached Arhat on the rhinoceros track. Okay. Why are they called self-made Buddhas? Last life? In the last 6 billion lives. They had a teacher who is like equal to His Holiness the Dalai Lama, and now in this life they don't need a personal teacher. Okay, they're called rhinoceroses. They can hang out by themselves. I think extremely rare. I think it's almost. I don't believe in such a thing. I don't think it's possible. I don't think you would have the karma not to have a sweet, beautiful, fantastic personal teacher by that time. Maybe it means that most of the impetus for their realizations come from their 6 billion last lives and not from the current life or something like that. But it's a really bad karma to be in a life without a heart teacher. And I don't believe they would have it. Okay? Anyway, Rangyal Drachombe Gyuki Goden Chuechen. Let's consider the fact that in their mind they have stopped all their mental afflictions. Okay? Rangyal Drachombe Gyuki Goten Chuchen. Seru Rang Sangye Kin Namda Yinde. This is a kind of purity that has been achieved by a rhinoceros. Okay? That's all. Suk Chiru Dunzing Shiju Jibe Toba Pangwe Rangyawe Chawa Yinbe Eche. Because they have got over the habit, the bad habit, of thinking that outer things exist. Do outer things exist? Is this microphone part of my tongue? No. Therefore, outer things exist, okay? So why do they say they don't exist? You can say that they don't grow from a separate seed from me. That's one way to say it, okay? But more correctly, you would say, they don't grow as things made of partless atoms of their elements with their own qualities, which is separate from my mind. And they have both come from certain seeds that I planted. Got it? Okay. Does the outer thing exist? Yes. Does it exist separate from the seed which created me? Does it exist as a thing made of atoms which have their own special qualities as a separate thing from me? No, got it? That's all. Okay. So that's level number two. It's called the purity. The fact that they have stopped all their thinking that the microphone is somehow separate from them in that way is called the purity of level two, the purity at level two. Okay? Okay, I'm down here. This is not our text, okay? I'm inserting this text from another text because you can't understand our text, which is incomprehensible anyway, without this other incomprehensible text, okay? Okay, John, relax, it's okay. Like three lifetimes from now, something will happen. Changpak. What's a Changpak? Yeah, Arya Bodhisattva. You can say Chan Chu Sempe Pakpa. But they shorten it to Changpak. Okay? A Bodhisattva who has seen emptiness directly can be called Bodhisi. Okay? They shorten it to Bodhisi or something like that. But you have to know. Okay? Changpak. Changpaki Goten Chechen. Let's take the fact that a bodhisattva who has seen emptiness directly has permanently ended certain negative qualities within their being, and you know them to be three, which are a belief, an intellectual belief in things that things are coming from their own side. Yeah. Believing in extreme spiritual paths where you would hurt yourself. And there's a third one. Yeah, any doubt about the scriptures or the presentation, okay? So they have a gokden for those three things. They have achieved the truth of cessation for those three things. They will never again have those three things, okay? Number dapa yinte. Lam sungi dripa chirig nyambate. They have destroyed. He uses the word nyamba, okay? They have destroyed the obstacles of the three paths, okay? Nimbeche. Now let's talk about the gokden, which is what? The cessation of, the truth of cessation of something, okay? Within a sangha, within a Buddha, okay? They have a higher stopping in them, right? They have stopped more stuff, got it? They have a better gokden, okay? Chill. They have a namkun shinduwada. They have a really cool, very, very much purity. Okay? They've achieved ultra purity. Let's call it ultra. Shintu. They've achieved ultra purity. Got it? Shintu. Why? Jimni Pametawa Yimbeche. They have stopped both of the obstacles, which are. You got 17 minutes left. You know, in the monastery, you just keep your mouth going like you're saying something, and the teacher thinks you're still awake. You're like. Nyundip, Nyundip and Shidip. Obstacles to omniscience, obstacles to nirvana. Okay? Mental affliction obstacles, which means obstacles to nirvana. Okay? Okay. Now we can go back to the quotation. Nyomong, some people get rid of mental afflictions. Sheja, some people. Where is Sheja? Oh yeah, Shija. They got rid of mental afflictions. They got rid of a knowable thing. What does that mean? You see, here, they got rid of a clock, which knowable thing here means a clock which has molecules in it, which have their own qualities. Got it? Is that weird or what? Okay? He doesn't call it a clock which is made of molecules which have their own qualities. Plastic. He says thing. And you're supposed to know he's talking about the second guy's realization. Got it? All right. Is that uncomfortable? Okay. And then Lam Sum. Where is Lam Sum? Let's see. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I do? Oh, I have to 4:15. We didn't start till 4:15. Oh, we're supposed to stop at 4:30? That's cruel. Okay. Lam Sum means three paths, right? A bodhisattva gets rid of the problems on their track, but they also automatically cover the problems on the other two tracks. Okay? So they got rid of all the problems of all three tracks. So when the root text says somebody got rid of their mental afflictions, they're talking about a guy on track number one. Somebody got rid of their problems about things, they're talking about a guy on track number two. Somebody got rid of the problems at all three tracks, that's a guy on track number three. Got it? Because the root text at the very top line there says, mental afflictions, things, and all three tracks. Got it? So it's a reference to the three kinds of arhats. Yeah. Not at all. It's chukhi dhamma chamo, the subtle lack of self to things. Okay? Nyamchir means they got rid of those problems. Okay? Nyamchir means they got rid of those problems. Who? Lobma means student, means a guy on track number one. And the siru, the elephant, which is a track guy on, sorry, rhinoceros, the guy on track number two. And the gyalse, the bodhisattva, who's on track number three. Got it? The guys on three tracks have got rid of three different problems. Got it? Okay? Gyalse namki dapa, and that represents three kinds of purity. The fact that they got rid of their problems is called dakpa. It's called purity because you no longer have them. You are pure, okay? And then there's a fourth purity which is called shindua, ultra purity. And who has that? Buddhas, okay? Now you got that quotation in your mind. You got the whole verse in your mind. Let's go back to which one of those four lines did he use in our text? Right there. Just the line about what they got rid of. He doesn't say who, and he doesn't mention Buddhas. He's just the first three tracks, the stuff they get rid of, which are, now we can translate it. Okay, we indent it because it's a quotation. I'm sorry, there's a soak here, so we got to cover that. Let's consider a statement. Okay, a statement such as the following. Or one such as this. Right, Alistair? We got to cover the second soap. Got it? I'm going to add the nyam, okay? Which comes on the next line. I'm going to cheat. Okay, stopped their mental afflictions and things. And those of three paths. Okay, and it still doesn't make any sense. Okay. Okay. No, you just have to know that's the correct translation. Okay? Got it? That quotation's gonna be very important. Why? We've been arguing about whether the whole point of this discussion is whether a person on a lower track can see emptiness directly or not. Okay? What does this last 20 minutes discussion imply? Have they reached nirvana or not? Yeah? It implies that there are three levels of practitioners and that all three of them see something that helps them reach some kind of cessation. Even the lowest one got rid of mental afflictions. So it's got to be that they've seen emptiness. That's why he pulled it out, okay? That's why he pulled it out. There's something going on with a person, even at the lowest track, that they are able to eliminate their mental afflictions. They must have seen something. Got it? He pulled it out, right? Here's the third quotation. Do you need a break? I mean, I just found out I'm going for another 20 minutes. Is that okay? I don't want to take a break either. Okay, I'm sorry. I know it's harder to sit there than to sit up here. And I don't care. Okay. Now, this is an interesting one. The original text, as I got it, you know, to edit, when I was, I don't know, 25, 30, it said, let's say it together with me already. Forget the thing, the parentheses around it. Let's read it together. You ready? Very slow. One, two, three, de ni se mar mik go ne. Go ne means means through, okay? Through, or, okay? It literally means through the door, gone, through. Mik means to, you know, mik mei tseme, to perceive, right? High tone mik is a verb. Low tone without the D is the I, okay? So they see something. What? In tsema, okay, is the way the quotation came to me. Okay, as the editor. So, you know, I'm a Westerner. I'm a white man in the middle of the monastery. They say, you edit our textbooks. I'm like, you don't have anybody who can edit them? Okay, Sema. So the book says Sema, which means what? Pramana. How do you translate that into English? You can say valid or correct perception. Okay? So, Dani means those guys. Okay? Those guys use, okay, gone, through, those guys use tsema. Got it? It's not the original. I'll show you, I want to advertise something, okay? Nobody cares. I don't care. Here's a thing, okay? It's called the ACIP database. Got it? 1 million pages plus. Typed in by Tibetan refugees for 24 years now, okay? I have on my laptop over 1 million pages of searchable text, not scans, which you can't search, okay? Somebody has to type it to search it, okay? So I've got this problem. I don't think the word is sema. I think it's wrong, all right? I think it's senma over here on the left side here, see? I think it's semar and not semar. Semar would mean with correct perception. Semar would mean with incorrect perception. It's a little important. Okay? Okay? Got it? You got the thing that's going on here? This text has been passed down for 450 years with semar. They see it correctly. Okay? I think it's semar. They see it incorrectly. Sen, by the way, means what in Tibetan? Name. Okay? Kirangit sen karere. It's the honorific word for name. It also, sen ma means indicator. Okay? Indicator. How do you know something is a car? You go out in the parking lot, you see an object. What are the indicators that it's a car? You see four round things, black. You see a big round thing in the front. You see glass, right? Those are called senma, indicators of an object, clues. Call them clues of an object, okay? But in philosophy, in Buddhist philosophy, it's a four-letter word, okay? Senma means to grasp to them as being themselves, to think that the iron atom has its own qualities is called senma. Got it? Sign, to grasp to signs is considered to hold a thing as self-existent. Got it? To grasp to its pheric nature, F-E, as being inherent, is called senma. So it's wrong. To senma is like a four-letter word in philosophy. Oh, he is senma dzimba. He thinks the thing has qualities of its own. He thinks iron is hard. He thinks iron is hard. Got it? He thinks iron makes things hard. Got it? Then that's the opposite of tsema. Tsema means see something correctly. Pramana. Right? Abhidharma Yoga Sutra. Quick. First chapter. 12th line something. Pratyaksha numana gama. Say pratyaksha numana gama. Pratyaksha. Anumana gama. Pratyaksha means direct perception. Anuma means indirect perception. Agama means perception based on the word of someone you trust. Okay? That's sema. Okay? Those are tsema. Those are the kinds of correct perception. Those are correct perception. Got it? So, I want you to appreciate the work that John Brady and Dan and everybody's been doing for 24 years. Okay? We have a chance to clean up a text which has been used for 450 years in the monastery, and it may be backwards. It may be completely wrong. Okay, you ready? Let's go. Okay, so I click over here. Okay, over here, I choose Tengyur.
By the way, this is a new program that Ted Lemon and I just finished. Okay, new search engine. So I click on Tengyur. Okay, I want to look through the 3,500 texts of the Tengyur. It's 215, I think, volumes. It's a 250,000 pages. Ready? We'll go look through 250,000 pages. If you look at the very bottom, it's going through all the tantras. It says Gyu, right? Each time you see a number change, it's a new book. Okay? And how long? I don't know. 20 seconds, 30 seconds. Okay, it went through 250,000 pages in 30 seconds. Right? And then it, and now you tell me what the bowl says. Tsema or Tsenmar? Tsenmar, okay? The text has been wrong for 450 years. And people have learned it wrong for 450 years. And that's the power of what we're doing in India. Okay, we're cleaning up the ancient books. It's very cool, especially the mantras. Okay. So, now that we can translate this responsibly and correctly, okay? So what does it really say? Even as they continue to hold to silence. Okay? That's all. That's all he quotes. Even as they continue to hold to silence. What does that mean? Alright? What does that mean? Well, I'm going to show you the whole quotation from the original text, okay? You couldn't do any of this without ASRP. It would be impossible. It'd be out of the question. I would be taking shots at it, and I'd probably be wrong. But we can pull out the original. Okay? Here it is. Right here. Deni semar migone tabmayin be ringwate deni tabla keba yi yadanye wa nidu she. Okay? It means, even as they hold to the signs of things, some of them are farther away because they don't know the method. And some of them who are wise in the method are extremely close. Okay? I'll say it again. Some of them understand the secret method and they are closer. And some of them are farther, even as they hold to science. Okay? What does that mean? What do you think it means? In the context of the three tracks, who do you think might be farther away and who might be closer? Yeah, the Hinayana people are farther away and the other guys are closer. The Bodhisattvas are closer. Okay.
Why is this wording even as they hold the signs?
We're getting there. Okay. Where was I? That's a danger of entering the teacher. Some are farther and some are closer. Why are the ones who are closer? Because they have tongue. They have the way. They know the technique. What is the technique in this case? What separates track three from the other two tracks? Bodhicitta. They understand love. They have a vision of a perfect world. Okay? They have a vision of a perfect world. So they have, those who have love are closer, and those who don't have love are farther. Okay? From what? They're Gokde. Okay? They're Nirvana. They're farther or closer from the Nirvana. And some reach Nirvana even though they are Tsenmar Dzinba. Even as they continue to hold to the signs of things. Okay? Alright? Some are approaching Nirvana, but they are still holding to the signs of things. Now they're getting into some kind of fudging. Okay? People on lower tracks that achieve Nirvana, they must have seen emptiness. But they must still be holding on to some kind of self-existence. Alright? They're fudging. Got it? That would imply you believe in three levels of emptiness. Got it? If you support this quotation, if you pull out this quotation, it implies that you must be believing in different flavors of emptiness and different levels of emptiness. And there's a real emptiness and there's a not quite yet emptiness. And those who get to not quite yet emptiness can become conviction nirvana, but they're still holding on to something a little bit wrong. Got it? Alright? You are comfortable? Alright, then I can go on. Okay. I'm going to be blowing you out. Don't worry, okay? If you want to leave, just leave. Go out and get some fresh air. Okay. There is a reason why we must explain such pronouncements. All made where? By Maitreya, the next Buddha. He's not a schluck, you know? Alright? There is a reason why we must explain such pronouncements as something we have to
interpret.
Alright? The course number?
15.
Okay. All those statements, by the way, have basically been supporting. Okay? I'm sorry you're tired, and let's just keep going, okay? We only get to play every 6 months together. It's just two classes. You know, for me, it's like out of the whole year, this is the only time I get to do what I really want to do. So, okay? And that's not really true. I like to cook for a long time. But anyway. These statements that he has pulled out so far from the text by Maitreya have all been implying that there are three different degrees of emptiness, okay? Those statements have been supporting the idea that there are different degrees of emptiness. But we must take them as figurative. They cannot be literal. They cannot be, they're not really true. He must have been just trying to make it easier for people. The two versions of emptiness must have been, dumbed down. Okay? He couldn't have meant what he said. Right? And we're going to explain why. Let's consider the lines that include due to details of what they rest on. Okay? Clear? Different futons. No. Okay. So there's a famous line in the... I'm going to give you the whole verse, which I pulled out ACIP database for you. It's in the dark. Okay? It's in the bold. Jupiter na rikshe ja. The object which their minds are considering is a rick. When these guys see emptiness, the object which they are focusing upon is rick. What's rick mean with an S on it? Rick without the S means the mind. Understanding, rick. Like marikpa means avidya, right? Not understanding. But this is a different spelling. This is rick, which means type or family. Who said family? Ah, God bless you. Okay. Rangshin Nerik. Anybody give me that? I will give them a hot chocolate next time someone gives me one. Rangshin Nerik. Rangshin Nerik. Sugata Garba. Sugata Garba. The Sanskrit, Sugata Garba. Buddha nature. Okay? Buddha nature. A beautiful subject, right? Exciting subject. All beings have a seed of Buddhahood within them. All beings are candidates for enlightenment. There is no being in the universe who will not be enlightened, eventually, if they can get through this class. Okay? Alright? There's no such thing as an unenlightenable person. All beings have this nature within them. Sugata Garba. Rangshin Nerik. Buddha nature. All beings have Buddha nature in them. It is not that you are a Buddha and you have to uncover something. Okay? That's a wrong idea. It has been taught that way. It's not correct. Lakshan Nirik means there's a seed for enlightenment within you, which you have to cultivate and you have to awaken, and then you will become an enlightened being. But all beings have this seed. Right? That seed can be described as the only part of you which will not be transformed by the process of enlightenment. There's only one part of you which will remain the same as you cross over into enlightenment. Your whole body will change from flesh and guts and blood, destructible, to indestructible life. Your mind will change from staying in the closet of this present moment to the expanse of all time and place, right? But one part of you, which is neither your body or mind, which will survive, which will be the same. What is it? The emptiness of your mind. Okay? The emptiness of your mind. What's that mean? The fact that your mind is coming from seeds that you planted last week. And not from anywhere else. Okay? That's the emptiness of your mind. It doesn't mean how you feel after 2.5 hours of umachita in an afternoon after a big meal. Got it? That's not the emptiness of your mind. The emptiness of your mind is the fact that your mind did not come from seeds. Your current understanding of what I'm saying has come from how much time you've taken to help others understand. The awareness, the amount of understanding of this class that you have as I speak right now is totally dependent not on what I say, but on how much kindness you have shown others by trying to teach them, for example, in the past, right? Those who have taught freely, kindly, openly, wholeheartedly will understand this class. And those who have not will have trouble. Okay, got it? That's the emptiness of your mind. Your mind is empty of coming from somewhere else than the kindness you've shown to others. Got it? That's the emptiness of your mind. And that will not change after you become enlightened. And that's the only part of you that will be the same after you become enlightened. And that's a part which, if you can connect with it, your enlightenment will come faster. You see? If you can connect with the true nature of your mind and understand that your level of understanding is coming from how much kindness you've shown others, then your enlightenment will come faster. So we can even call it a Buddha nature. Or a Buddha seed. Got it? It's beautiful. The fact that your mind is not coming from anywhere else but the kindness you've shown others by helping them is your Buddha nature. Got it? And that will not change. When you become enlightened, the amount of understanding you have will still have come from the kindness you've shown others. Got it? That won't change. So we call it your Buddha nature. Got it? Now, get this. Ready? When we talk about people of the three chakras seeing emptiness, the emptiness they see in as they reach nirvana happens to be which one? The emptiness of your mind. Okay? They are focusing on Rig. They are focusing on Sugata Garbha as they reach nirvana. Okay? The emptiness that pushes them into nirvana, right? Is they understand the emptiness of their own mind, which is their Buddha nature. They are focusing on Rig. Ready? Okay, now we can go back to the text. Hang in there, okay? You're going to have a little rest and then it's going to get worse. Okay. Here's the whole quotation. Jupe tenla Rig. Jupa means what? To enter, to engage, especially the mind, okay? Now, extremely important, you've got to hang in here. We got like 6 more minutes or so. I'm going to go over. Never forget, this is for this discussion today, which I find extremely pleasant, even if you don't. Here's the table. Here's the thing I'm putting on the table. Got it? Okay? Here's the table. Here's the thing I'm putting on the table. Okay? In Tibetan, this is called pen. R-T-E-N, ten. Which means the support of something, or the foundation of something. All right? You can call it alambana in Sanskrit. Niralambana headstand means with no support. Dharma Mitra is Niralambana headstand. He's not using his arms. Okay? So this support, this is the support. Okay? Then, in Tibetan, R-T-E-N. Okay? In Tibetan, this is also then, unfortunately. The thing supported, the thing which is resting upon the other thing, all right, is also called then, but it's spelled differently. To B-R-T-E-N. Okay? This is called Bretenba. This is called Rettenba. Got it? And they are called then and Tenba. Okay? I always remember, the way I struggled to remember it when I was learning it 100 years ago, was that the thing supported was bigger than the thing supporting it, because it had an extra letter on it. It had a B on it. That's the only way I could remember. Somebody would say Bretten and Rettenba, and I'd say, oh, it had B, it's on top. Okay? Bretenba, thing supported. Rettenba, thing. It's that supports it. Now, in the study of perception, okay, got it? I am observing a box of cleaners, alright? In the study of perception, we call the box Rettenba. And we call my perception of it a Rettenba. Why? Because my perception depends on the thing. Michael's perception of the Kleenex box is resting upon the Kleenex box. Got it? Okay. Without this, I couldn't have a perception of the Kleenex box. The Kleenex box is supporting my perception of the Kleenex box. Got it? Say again? Don't go there. This is Rettenba, and my perception is Rettenba. Okay? My perception of the Kleenex box could not happen if there were no... Come on. If there were no Kleenex box, okay? Michael's perception of the Kleenex box is dependent upon the Kleenex box. In this case, the Kleenex box is like the table, and my perception of the Kleenex box is resting on the Kleenex box. Got it? Okay? This is Retten. I'm Retten. Now, when an arhat, or a soon-to-be arhat, is perceiving emptiness, right? Which is the emptiness of their own mind, which is Rig, which is Sugata Garbha, which is the Buddha nature, right? When they are perceiving of it, when a guy is perceiving the emptiness of their own mind, which is the table and which is the thing the table is supporting?
No, don't say that.
Yeah. Say it again. Yeah, good. The emptiness of the mind is the Kleenex box, and his perception of the emptiness of the mind is resting upon the Kleenex box. Got it? Why is this important? Why are we going here? I'll say that, then I'll give you a break. Okay? Short break. Okay. Why is it important to distinguish between the emptiness in the person's mind, which they are focusing on, and the perception of the emptiness of their mind, which is resting upon that emptiness? Okay? Why is it necessary to distinguish between the two? Okay? Because we're about to propose that the difference between people of the three tracks doesn't depend on a difference of the den, but rather on a difference of the dhamma. Okay? Are all emptinesses equal? Let's go there. Are all emptinesses equal? They're all equal. They're all the fact that something isn't coming from itself. You know, whether you're talking about the chair, or the building, or Phoenix, or an event, or the weather, or a mood that you're having, right? They all have emptiness because they're not coming from themselves. Okay? In that sense, all emptinesses are completely equal. Okay? Are all perceptions of them equal? Yeah, they're in different people's minds, they came about through different causes, they have different histories. Okay? The people are different. The minds have a different story behind them. Okay? And the object to which the emptiness belongs is different in each case. Alright? The emptiness, the object to which the emptiness belongs can change but the emptiness doesn't change, right? The emptiness of the Kleenex box is the fact that it doesn't come from itself. That's the same as the emptiness of the clock. It doesn't come from itself. But the emptinesses are different according to what they pertain to. This is the emptiness of the Kleenex box, and that was the emptiness that belongs to the clock. Got it? They belong to different stuff, but they're made of the same thing. They're the same kind of thing. They're the absence of the same thing. Got it? Okay. So, maybe the difference between people of the three tracks is something about them and not something of degree of emptiness that they're perceiving. Got it? Not the support, but the state of mind which is resting upon them. That's where he's going. Okay? Maybe we can draw a distinction between the three tracks, but maybe it doesn't have to depend on three different flavors of emptiness. Maybe it could depend on the person's perception. Got it? That's where we're going. Okay, you need a well-deserved break. Okay, let's do questions when we get back. What time do we start again?
7.
Is it 7?
7.
Okay, see you at 7 o'clock. Have a nice dinner. Keep the dinner small if you have any hope of getting through the evening class. Okay? Like, just consciously make the dinner a little bit small. Okay. Let's give away the good karma. If you cut down but this today's class, what would happen? If you cut down but this class, if this class cut down, if you cut down but this class, what's that mean? I'm having an issue with my husband, or I'm having an issue with my partner, or I'm having an issue with my child, or I'm having an issue with my boss, right? And maybe it's coming from me. You see, maybe my boss and me, or my partner and me, are growing from a single karmic seed, which who planted?
Me.
And who can take it out? Me. You see? Don't not kadamba this class. Okay? Okay? Don't not kadamba this class. Don't think I was sitting up here talking about some ancient Indian philosophy. Right? I was trying to get you to not get mad at the next person who's abusive to you. Alright? The whole point of the class is you've got to kadamba it. Take the knowledge, take the class, take all those details, take all those quotations, take the database, and apply it to your husband. Okay. He's coming from you. Whatever problems you have with other people are coming from you. That's the point of the class, right? But we proved it in 25 different ways because you're bodhisattvas, and you prefer more proofs. Got it? Okay, here we go. Fran Dayan, are you ready?
Sun, shades of